Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
Can I have y'all stand up? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I had to use that because I remember if you weren't here last time, you wouldn't get it. But I had them stand for like, oh my God. Like I actually rewatched my sermon and nothing's worse than hearing yourself on like a, I don't like hear myself in recording. But I listened to it and I counted the time. It was like 15 minutes. And you live and you learn. And that's what I got from that. So what's up, guys? Man, I'm so happy to be with y'all tonight. And I'm expecting like are you guys expecting God to do something tonight? Because every time I expect God to do something, every time I'm like, God, I just pray that you move tonight. I pray that you speak something to somebody's heart. He always does. So as we expect tonight, can we just believe, man, and receive that God is going to do something? Man, just raise our hand. Can we raise our hands in the air? We're not going to stand up. And just repeat after me. God, I'm ready to receive. My heart is open. Do something great in me tonight. Amen. We believe that, man. For those of you who don't know, my name is Cody, and I've been serving in the ministry, but I actually went to this ministry when it was called Thrive, and even before that, it was called Revolution, but I was been here for a while, man, kind of grew up in this ministry. This ministry's done a lot for me. God's done a lot for me, and I encounter him a lot of times in this room and in the ministry, man, but I also go to school here through Waymaker Ministry School, and if you're looking for, who got the seniors in here? Anybody a senior in here? If you all feel called to ministry, because that's what you're going to do the Lord's work, right? You all feel called to, I'm just kidding, you can do it any job, but if you want to go into ministry, man, check out Waymaker School Ministry. I'm not trying to sell it to you, but it really, I'll tell you what, man, it's good. We have a good time, but man, it's really good. I mean, you really get to experience God in such a cool way. Oh, all right, well, I'll put this on the stage. It's going to be my way. So I did this podium today. I know it's a side note, because my notes always fly off. If you know when I speak, it's just one of those things that happen, and I refuse to switch to digital notes. So that's what I'm going to do. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm honored to be with you guys because I've been seeing what's been going on in this room lately in the past couple weeks, in the past months, man. God's been doing some great works in here. And let me tell you what, man, we pray for revival. We are the revival, man. This is the church. Let me tell you, can I just share with you something? We are going on to, I think, 5+ school campuses. You guys are making an impact in your high school. Whether it's the name Sozo or a Bible study, but you guys here in this room are making an impact in your high school. You are leading people to Christ in your high school. I mean, I forget, like, I think Mitch Gore in here, wherever he's at, he had, like, how many salvations did you have that one day? 8 in a high school? Sometimes we don't have 8 salvations in a church service. Man, that is so cool. And that is what the church is, man. We are the church. And it's so funny because, man, we pray for revival, but I got some good news, man. We are in the midst of revival. And I'm so happy and honored to be a part of what you guys are doing and what we're doing here. Honestly, you can write this down if you're taking notes. It's as simple as this, man. Revival starts with discipleship. I was like wondering, like, revival starts with discipleship. So, man, if you want to see revival in your school, it starts with discipleship, man. It just starts off with following Jesus and what he has. Just following him, being obedient, what he tells you to do, man. He tells you to pray for somebody, go for it, man. Don't be afraid of that because he'll do some amazing things through that. And y'all heard my Bible study story before, so I won't share that again. I share that a lot. But, man, can we just pray tonight as we get into it? Father, I thank you. We just come expecting to you, Father. We thank you for what you're going to do here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, as I speak tonight, God, speak through me, God. Let it be your words that we hear tonight, God, and speak to our hearts. And we just thank you. We love you. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read to you guys a story in the Bible. This is a story you might be able to relate to, but I want you to take somebody, your best friend. I want you to take somebody you're very close with, and I want you to fill these two spots. My mouth is already getting dry. Oh, my goodness. Can we put those verses up on the screen as I transition? Wow. Who fills a water bottle at the top? How are you going to drink that? Now, my hand's soaked. Oh, I like that. That was a good smart remark. Who gave that? I'll keep my eye on you. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go. This is Paul and Silas. So you all know Paul. He persecuted the church, became a follower of Jesus when he encountered Jesus personally, actually. And Silas was like his brother in Christ, his best friend. He went in journeys together. This journey happened to be a different one. So let me just read this out loud. Follow me here. Bear with me. This is a good. This is actually a really good story in the Bible. I was like, oh, this is awesome, man. I'm going to share this. He goes, this is a letter he wrote to, this is in the New Testament. Once we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit which she predicted the future. So she was like a fortune teller. She earned a great deal of money for her owners. So what these people did is they took a girl who was possessed by a demon who was able to tell people's fortunes and was very spiritually like intact, but not in a good spiritually kind of intact. And they used her to make money. So I guess she found Paul and Silas and was like, oh, those guys are Christians. Let's go follow them. So she followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Over and over and over again. She kept this up for many days. Not just one day or 2 days, many days. And then this is funny. Finally, Paul became so annoyed. Paul, the Bible, became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. This is when it gets interesting. When her owners realized, the business owners of her, realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates, which is like the government. They said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept their practice. The crowd joined, so they got all hyped. They're like, yeah, throw them in jail. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods, which is, I would imagine, pretty painful. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer commanded to guard them carefully because these men are dangerous. So they received these orders and put them in the inner cell, and they fastened their feet with stocks. So now they're in a cold, wet prison in a basement, because when I think of a Greco-Roman prison, I think of a lot of bricks, moss, probably pretty smelly stuff, rats, and then shackles on their feet. So they're just standing there after being annoyed for a week by this person. So that's pretty unfair. I'd say at that point, I'd be pretty upset. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. This is where I'm going to base this off of, so pay attention to this part. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were worshiping in the midst of the prison. Other prisoners were listening to them. I don't know. They don't say if they were annoyed or if they were happy. So I don't know how loud they were singing or what they were singing. If they were singing like an overplayed song like Oceans, or if they were singing like Reckless Love. I don't know what they were doing, but they were singing, worshiping in God amongst their crappy situation. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prisoners' doors flew open. Everybody's chains were off. They came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because if they let the prisoners go, he would have been killed, and that's like a great dishonor, right? Because he was in charge of the prison. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We're all here. So what I want to point it out, what made it so that they could worship God in the midst, they could find the peace and joy in their hearts in such a messed up place to want to go ahead and raise their hands, even I don't know if their hands were shackled, but to sing and praise God. And by the looks of this, they were quite joyful when they were doing it. That's not normal. You and your friend do it. That's not a normal thing. That's not a normal thing, man. We don't see, when we're in the midst of situations, you know what we hear nowadays? Like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? And it's not even important stuff. It's stupid stuff. It's stupid stuff when we complain about it. And obviously God cares about the little things. But what gave these men such peace and joy to raise their hands or whatever they did in worship and praise God in the midst of such a messed up, unfair situation? It was unfair. Let's keep reading. I want you to keep that in mind. Where's the peace and joy coming from? The jailer called for lights, Russian lights switch on. Russian fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they saw a mighty work of God happen. They praised God, and the doors open. Literally, everything was shaken. If you imagine that, the little lanterns were shaken, falling over. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and you and your household. Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in the house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took him and washed their wounds. Then immediately, he and all the household were baptized. They brought them food. This is a funny a little add-on to my story. He goes, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered you that you and Silas be released. So now you can leave and go in peace. So they were dazed. They spent in this prison. They worshiped God. And then Paul said, Paul gives a little sass. It's funny. He goes, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and they threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out. What a savage thing to do. Now, we're Roman, because to beat a Roman citizen back then, like if they were a Roman citizen, it was really bad. So I could just imagine the walk of shame, be like, sorry, guys, come on out. You never did that, right? I don't know. I thought that was funny. But the thing is, man, godly Godly peace and joy produces boldness. It produced boldness for them to be like, you're coming to get us. We know where we're from. We know what we're doing. You're coming to get us. I want to talk about today, I want to talk about how to get a godly peace and joy in your life, a godly peace and joy in your life where you can rejoice in all circumstances. So not only are you praising God when things are good, you're not only have that joy and peace in you that says, man, I'm okay. Even when things are bad and even when things are good. And I'm going to share a little secret with you guys tonight, but finding peace in the, sorry, man. I look at my notes and I'm just like, sometimes I get caught up in there. I want you to realize everything in life has a process, right? There's very few things in life that don't have a process. Even sending a text message, it's really fast though. Everything has a process in life, and some processes are going to be a little more painful than others. How about such as growing up? Growing up is a little painful. Sometimes you get a pain in your life. I remember sitting in bed, I was like 8, and you start growing and things, and I just remember going to bed, and I felt like somebody was doing surgery on my leg. I'm just sitting there, man. I'm laying down. I'm like, oh my God, what is this? And then you find out Tylenol exists. And you're like, Mom, give me some Tylenol. This hurts. And then the other leg would start hurting. And you take another Tylenol, and then your arm would start hurting. But I remember, you know, life's processes, growing up is just one of them, but life's processes could be painful. I mean, we got high school. Enough said. I want to show you guys now. I want to build this up because this is a big deal for me. I want to show you guys a few pictures. Don't put them up yet. Not yet. A year ago, if you would have said, Cody, would you show these pictures to anybody? And these aren't bad pictures. They're just embarrassing. I would have been like, that would be... my cousin, Jake, would used to threaten me like, I'll show your old picture from like fifth grade to all the people in Sozo. I'm like, you're not going to do that because it's going to ruin our relationship. But today, I want to show you... the pain and the process of growing up sometimes. Oh God, why did I do this? Lord help me. Throw it out there. That was worse than I thought it was gonna be, I'm not gonna lie. All right, that's Cody in fifth grade with a Club Penguin poster in a messy bed wearing Abercrombie and Fitch, man, or American Eagle, I don't know. Oh God, I don't even think I dressed myself, huh? That's funny. My cousin showed, okay, his girlfriend that yesterday. All right, well, you get to see it again. There you go. Now, Cody, you know, Cody was a little bullied in elementary school for his hair. He was called Coconut Head, Mop Head, okay? So we all understand. Oh, you two are loving it, aren't you, Jordan and Dylan? And don't you understand a little bit why? I understand. I was a little quirky as a kid. Okay, now we move through the teenage years. You know, you go through the painful process of school. You go through middle school, being wanting to be cool. Oh, there it is, eighth grade. Felt pretty good about myself in that one. That's when the selfies were cool, and I never posted that one. I felt like I was doing pretty good. I spit again. That's going to be ninth grade? Somewhere on there, eighth, ninth grade. So we were doing good. We cut the hair short. We realized, you know, Zach, Sweet Life of Zach and Cody wasn't cool anymore. We cut the hair. We're looking good. We keep going through. We're starting to navigate into high school. We're excited. We're doing, you know, new things. We're exploring. We're meeting new people. And the next picture isn't as bad. That's me at Eaton Park, eating mac and cheese bites. I'm figuring out what high school and a beginning of college is offering me. And I didn't buy that with my own money. Okay, those are the pictures I thought I'd share with you. The processes of life, they're a lot of fun. Thank you for the clapping. Thank you, Max. That took a lot of courage. That took a lot of boldness for me to show those pictures. Peace in the process. Peace in the process. Boy. All right, thank you for taking that down. I want to simplify this for you real good. You can live one of two ways. You can live either life in peace, of what's next, and to walk through anything and know that and trust God that God's going to bring you through it. You can live in fear of what's next. You can live in fear of like, I don't know where I'm going to school. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know who I'm going to meet. I'm going through this struggle, man, right now. Man, I'm, you know, like the doctor said this about me, or I can't play sports because of this injury. And so you can choose to have one of the two. And I want to have that peace, enjoy that Paul and Silas had in the prison to say, you know what, I know the doctor said I struggle with anxiety and depression, but, you know, I have a God that says otherwise. And that takes a lot of faith to believe that. But when we believe that, man, and receive that healing, when we receive the truth and the word of God that he promised, when we receive his promises, he's going to blow your mind. And you're gonna walk in such confidence. You're going to walk in that peace and joy. But I love what Galatians 5:22 says. Let's take a look at God's character for a second. Let's figure out, who's this God we're talking about? He says in Galatians 5:22, Paul actually writes this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kind. I don't know what forbearance means. I think it means like keep going, encouragement. Kindness, good. I don't know everything, guys. Goodness and faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, which comes from God and is God, says the fruit of that, or the produce, or what is produced from God when he speaks and who God is, and it radiates from God, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. I'm going to focus on joy and peace tonight, even though those other ones are good and God is good. These are the character traits of God. You people wonder, what is God like? Here we go. His word says what he is like as his Spirit. When you choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Spirit of God. So when we say, Lord, I trust you as my Savior, Lord and Savior, we receive the Spirit of God, and therefore we can live in those character traits of God because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. Do you get that tonight? Do you understand what that means? We produce, we have access to these things that we are told we can't have unless this, unless that. Then I'll have that if I do this. No. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, somebody's texting me. Oh my God, you have it now. You have access to it. Can you tell I have a little ADD when I speak? No, I don't. And that's a trick question. I do not have ADD in Jesus' name. I'm believing what his word says. The real question, man, how can we maintain peace like Paul and Silas? How can we maintain the peace when Jesus got up on the boat and said, peace be still? How can we look like Jesus instead of Peter in the boat? Be like, Lord, wake up. Wake up, it's storming outside, we're gonna die. The drive home's so icy. That's what all parents say. Like, oh my God, get home now, leave early. It's gonna be icy out, because as if like when you're driving home, it's not gonna form when you're driving. I wanna have the peace and joy to wake up in a storm and say, peace be still. Peace be still. A couple thoughts I have for y'all today, making sure I don't skip over anything. I'm keeping this short for you guys, short and simple to the point, because sometimes you don't have to draw out an hour and a half message, so you got a simple point tonight that's going to help you. So thought number one, you can go ahead and put it up there. When we spend time with God, we reflect his character. Simple principle of spending time with somebody you like me and my cousin Jake here, we spend a lot of time together, so we start to act similar. We start to be similar. We start to say things that are similar. We trade words out. He gives me cool words because sometimes my vocabulary lacks, and I teach him the right words sometimes because his vocabulary lacks. So we trade off. We trade off. He keeps me exciting, and I keep him proper. No, he's the grammar one. He's the grammar Nazi there. He keeps me in straight. All right. When you spend time with God, you had to, buddy. When you spend time with God, man, we start to reflect his character. When we spend time in his word, and it's so funny because I was listening to, it was at Stephen Furtick's church. This guy said, he goes, you know, when I was going to church, I always thought, like, they always told me, like, make sure you go to church, make sure you go to church. And I would always go to church, but I started to feel like it was legalism. So I started to kind of skip once in a while. And I started, like, I don't have to be my word every day. And you're right. There's no, you don't have to do anything, right? But he says, I started to mistake legalism. Oh, what does it say? I'm going to read it. I don't want to mess it up. I started to mistake legalism for discipline. Oh, melt that sink in. You can write that down if you're taking notes. I see a few of y'all out there. Thank you. Thank you, Alex. We start to misplace. Be careful not to, in your walk with God, be careful not to misplace this discipline with legalism and vice versa. Be sure, we don't want legalism to say, I have to do this to earn God's favor. That's what legalism is. But discipline says, you know, I don't feel like reading God's word today, but I believe it. And I believe what it says, and I believe that when I read it, man, it is going to change my heart. And I believe when I spend time with God, I'm going to look like him, because that's what, you know, we don't just do because we feel like it. That's great. I love God, and I do feel like it. But some mornings, I get up, and I snooze the alarm, and I snooze it again, and snooze it again, and then the third alarm goes, I snooze it again, and then I wake up, and then I go back, I got some time, I'll go back to bed and snooze again. And then I wake up, and then by that time, you're already trying to find clothes in the morning. I have to get my outfit the night before, because if I'm in the morning, I get up And I'm a mess in the morning. I'm just not a morning person. But I make time in the morning for God. I make time for God in the morning. I do. But sometimes, man, I really, really don't feel like it. But I know that it's not legalism. I don't go to the where I'm like, oh, I go to the Old Testament, where are we at here today? Go to the New Testament, where are we at today? I do it because I want to discipline myself in the Word. So never be confused about legalism and discipline. Never get those two confused. It'll help you in your walk with the Lord. But let's go on to a verse, Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, I'm going to read up here. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Anxiety is a big issue, man. I deal with a lot of people. It's a disorder. It's a chronic disorder. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. What an assurance. Do we believe that tonight? What an assurance, man. Yeah, can I get an amen? Come on, we get excited. Let's get excited, man. The more excited you get, the more excited. I come excited, but like when you fuel that, man, I'll get more energy. Sometimes it takes a minute. I'm not the most naturally energetic, but when you crank up the toy car, man, just get me going, man. I'll get going. Peace is not circumstantial. Second point, second thought. Peace is not, I want to explain to you, peace is not circumstantial happiness. We get confused. God, I want to be happy. But I think God is more concerned about our peace and our joy more than our circumstantial happiness, because it's funny because we tend sometimes to get little glimpses of peace and joy in our circumstantial happiness. Like you get like something new or you have an experience like, this is awesome, and then it goes away. But the thing is funny because I think we need to start producing our happiness from our peace and joy out of the love of God and out of God in our hearts, instead of producing our peace and joy from our circumstantial happiness. From the things that are fleeting, from the things that go away, if we find our peace and joy in the things that are temporary, then our peace and joy will be temporary. Come on, I'm preaching today, man. I didn't write that down. Shoot. It's the Lord, man. No, but here's the thing, man. I would much rather hold on to my peace and joy and then have happiness from that and then still enjoy the fun pleasures of life. Like, I don't know. What do you guys like to do? Name something. Ice cream. Ice skating, what's going on with the type of snowboard? I don't know, whatever you like to do, man. Let the root come from God, because it doesn't waver. It doesn't waver. Good stuff. It's crucial we understand this. I mean, happiness is often generated by our feelings, and our feelings often fail to lead us well. Happiness is generated by our feelings, and our feelings often fail to lead us well, because our feelings will tell us things that aren't always true, right? So we need to stand on the word of God, and our feelings will follow. We are in control of our feelings. We put a leash. We put a retractable leash. Like the ones you walk your dog, and they go away, and they go, ooh, because they retract it. I feel bad. I try to, like, give her a little stop when she goes with my dog so she doesn't get out jerk. She just, like, she kind of slows her down slowly, so she kind of gets, like, a slow stop. You don't just jam the brakes in your car, so why would you jam the leash for the dog? You know what I mean? I don't know. This is me. Whatever. As I've gotten a little older, I've realized more and more that when I seek God in the face of adversity, he prioritizes his peace and joy. This is good. When I seek God in the hard times, he prioritizes his peace and joy over my happiness sometimes. Like, oh, that's so mean. No, it isn't. Because in the end, I'm like, thank you, God, that I didn't get that. Thank you, God, that you held that from me, because what I thought was good for me and I thought was going to make me happy wouldn't have, because I see the fruit of that now, but I didn't see it before. But thank you for keeping me in your peace and joy before I made that dumb decision. Thank you, Lord. He keeps us from that, man. That's good. I'm almost finished. We must let the word of God run our lives, and our feelings will follow. Get that point tonight. Follow. Feelings follow. Feelings follow. Thought three. You can throw it up there. The primary source of peace and joy is God, and the primary source of happiness usually comes from the world. Now, when we look at the source of these two things, right, one comes from God and one comes from the world, but let's see this. I mean, I'm not saying God doesn't want us happy. What I'm saying is I wouldn't trade the peace and joy of the Lord for the happiness of the world, is what I'm saying. Let's look at Romans 15:13 real quick. Thank you, worship team. I didn't cue you, but you guys are so intuitive. That's a big word for me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? With all joy and peace, they come as a package deal. You can't, well, let's think of an analogy, peanut butter jelly. You can have the peanut butter, and you can have the jelly. You can sometimes eat peanut butter bread, but it's so much better when you have peanut butter and jelly together, not to belittle the word of God, but to think like, man, I want a peanut butter and jelly. I want the joy and the peace. I used to eat those in high school all the time. Popped in my heart. It's like having Chick-fil-A without the fries. Like, what the heck? I would rather have my, oh, now I'm sounding like Zach, bro. That's, I'd rather have my happiness based off my peace and joy than to have my peace and joy based off my happiness. Let's read our final scripture tonight. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'll read it from here. That's fine. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, because our veil, after Jesus came to the cross, we no longer had to beg. We no longer had to sacrifice animals. We no longer had to put our sin into something else, but Jesus took our sin and bore it. So we can now lift the veil of shame and guilt off our faces that some of y'all have over tonight. Right now, I'm looking at you. You have some veils over your faces. And no, it's not a physical veil. There's a spiritual one that needs lifted tonight. Can we lift that tonight? And we all with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, glory to glory, to glory, to glory, to glory, to glory, to glory, till finally ultimate glory, spending eternity with our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ. Man, that's good. I love that. You know, David Falk did this one time. I'm going to copy him, but he don't care because he's not here. He had a rope. He had a rope, and this isn't my notes, but I just want to share it with you. He had a rope, and it came from this side of the stage all the way to that stage and went, like, just picture it, keep going, and all the way around the world, around the world, around the world for eternity, right? We have a rope. I'm going to use this as our rope. And he had a little thing this big, and he said, this is your lifespan, but the rope is eternity. This is your life on earth. This little thing is your life on earth. And this is your life in eternity. So what are you going to do? Because what you do here does determine how you spend eternity. Yeah. And man, I'll tell you what. I know we can't see it. It's kind of like a prayer getting answered after you prayed for it. Like, thank God. It's kind of like when you don't take vitamins, you don't know what they're doing until you stop taking them. And you're like, wow, I can't believe how much I was actually doing. It's kind of like, you know, not being able to see because you're in the midst of it. But when you look back, you're like, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's finish the scripture. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So tonight, you have a few things in mind, right? You have a few things in mind now about how to live your life. You have a choice to make tonight. You have a choice to make. For those of you who don't know the Lord, you also have a choice to make tonight. You have, for those of you who do know the Lord, man, you have a choice tonight. How are you going to live your life? And are we going to receive it from the Word of God? Are we going to get in the Word of God? Are we going to get in the Word of God daily? Are we going to get to the Word of God often? Are we going to let it run our lives? Are we going to let peace and joy stay in our lives and run our lives? Are we going to let the peace of God and the joy of God run our life? Are we going to be Spirit-led or flesh-led? Are we going to live like the Lord wants us to live and, man, show the world a light that they don't see? It's funny. I'll share this real quick, and then we'll end here with the, we'll go back into worship here. I was at the gym last night, and I don't know, man. I've been thinking, like, I shared this in leader meeting, but, like, I was listening to Todd. I don't know if you guys know who Todd White is, but he goes out and he just prays for people. And he's just a radiating, like, light man to so many people. He goes into some, let's talk about a dark place, Walmart. For many reasons, I will remain, let you figure that out. And he goes into, like, places like Walmart, and he'll just pray for people, man. He just, like, he'll notice somebody limping. He'll go, your shopping trip turns into a healing ministry. That'd be awesome, man. Like, I know, like, it's kind of scary to think about, but he goes in and he prays for people who has issues. He sees they might have an issue, or like some man was riding a, what do they call those cart things you have to ride when you get older? I mean, I ride them when I'm young. Yeah, the scooters. And he prayed for somebody. He's like, man, I just want to pray for you today. And so many times we feel like we need like a godly encounter. Like, he comes, he's limping, he's like, pray for me. No. We go, we see something, man. If we see an opportunity, take it. Pray for that person. We don't need to, man, what did Jesus, some people came up to him, but guess what? A lot of times he went to them. He saw their need, and he was like, oh, here we go. How cool would that be if you walked into Walmart and saw somebody limping, instead of being like, oh, get away from me, you were like, here we go. And he prays for people, and man, they receive healing. Not because Todd White's special, but because he doesn't let fear and anxiety He doesn't let depression, he doesn't let the moods that come and the mood swings define God's work. He doesn't let, I have this written down and I want to say it to you because this is good. I skipped over it, but I'm going to come back to it. I never wrote that down for a reason. Oh boy, here we go. When God asks you to do something, don't discredit it based off your performance. I prayed for me last night at the gym, long story short, what? I saw, he showed me, I talked to him, he's like 62, looked like he was 40. He's like, how old do you think I am? And I'm like, oh, we talked about coffee for a while. I'm like a social butterfly at the gym, I don't know why. I don't get anything done, as you can tell. And I pray, it's an opportunity to pray for him, real simply. He showed me, he said, I can't really do what I used to. You know, I was telling him about lifting it, we were talking about lifting it, I can't really do what I used to. And he showed me, he's like, watch this. He goes over, picks a light down, like a real light dumbbell, small dumbbell, everybody could do it. He goes, and he goes to the other side, and he can't lift his shoulder. Opportunity to pray for somebody right there. And I was like, wow, so cool. So I started, he goes, God's like, are you going to do it? Are you going to trust me? You're going to do it? Because honestly, guys, I was like, I'll go back to my workout, not worry about that. And so I saw him walk over, and you know that feeling you get, like you're like, now or never. So I walked over, and I'm like, all right. I said, what? His name was Wayne. I said, Wayne, can I pray for you? I just feel like, God, I don't make it weird, but can I just pray for you real quick? And it was funny, I was out of breath. God, you know, don't let your performance affect what God will do, right? And I was like, can I just pray for you, man? I just want to pray for you real quick. He's like, sure, yeah. And I know, like, he said he went to church, and I just felt like, man, like, he said he went to a Presbyterian church, had a cross. Nothing's wrong with that. I just really felt like, I don't know if he's ever experienced the true love of God or the true joy of peace of God that God brings or healing. And I prayed for him about his shoulder. I said, God, we don't have to beg for you to heal. I said, God, we just thank you, Jesus, that you love him so much. I pray we just know your love. And I just pray, and I was out of breath. I just pray just healing over his shoulder right now in Jesus' name. We receive it and believe in both shoulders in Jesus' name. And I thank you for Wayne. I thank you for his life in Jesus' name. He goes, thank you, man. I said, lift your shoulders. And he just lifted his shoulders and went, and he hugged me real quick. I didn't get to see even what happened. He just hugged me, and he hugged me so tight, and I hugged him, man, and it choked me up. I was just like, wow. I felt the love of God, and it wasn't even, I prayed for him, but I felt the love of God too, because it comes from God, not me. So I felt it, and I was like, oh my God. I walked away, and I was like, where's the gym, Cody? You know what I mean? I walked over to get a drink of water, and I was like, wow. Man, it only takes a moment. It only takes a moment, and he probably, that was more of an experience with God. He's probably gone in years. It was just a simple act of obedience, and just kind of had that peace and joy. I was like, man, like, why not? God's so good. So, man, if you go in this worship song, y'all stand with me, and y'all can stand up, and we're just going to this worship song. Man, can I just encourage you? I don't know where you're at with God today, and I don't know what he's been asking you to do, or if you've just been running, or if you've been stagnant. Because you can get stagnant, and I don't know what it is you need to do tonight or that you should do tonight. But I know there's worship time, man. If we could just fix our eyes on him, he's going to unlock something in your heart tonight. So do you believe that with me? All right, man. Let's go into worship, and let's worship him. I'm going to worship along right with you.
I want to give you guys an opportunity to accept Jesus into your heart. It says in the Bible that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He says that he's the way and he's the truth and the life, and he wants that for you. He wants to guide you in every area of your life. Listen, you don't have to clean yourself up to come to him. You come as you are, and then that's when change happens, because his love is what changes people. It's not by your own self-efforts that's ever going to get you there. It's by his love and his grace, because when he was hanging on that cross, he was thinking of this exact moment that he has with you, and he wants you, and it's not on accident that you're here. He wants you. He wants all of you. So if I can just have everyone bow their heads. I want to give you this opportunity to make the best decision that you'll ever make in your life. No one's looking around. No one's going to embarrass you or anything. If you feel like that's you and you want to make Jesus, the Lord, your father, your daddy, I just want you to raise your hand. No one's looking around. We'll all pray a prayer out together. If that's you, raise your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. That is awesome. Let's all pray this prayer out together. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. And Jesus, I receive you to be my Lord. I am now a child of God, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's give it up for those people that made the best decision in their life. That is so awesome. We celebrate with you. So if I can just ask for you guys just to go all back to your seats. We're going to do announcements and offering, and then we'll dismiss to small groups.